kisses her like a carp trying to get a piece of food off of a pot.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And I did not marry you for my green card.
Who did you marry for a green card?
No comment.
Well, Jamie, in retribution for me making you watch something about Bigfoot, you made me watch Love Me on Amazon Prime.
I sure did.
A movie that begins with the question, what is love?
It made me think of like marriage. Marriage is the bringing of two people together.
It made me think of the Night at the Roxbury guys.
I love it.
Banging their heads.
What is love?
Bouncing into people, which is not far from the level of game that we see in this movie.
Well, there's a reason this cast of characters is, we haven't even said what they're doing in this movie.
Love Me follows four gentlemen as they pursue love. They've basically given up on American women for various reasons, and so now they're turning to mail order brides.
You didn't used to have the internet when mail order brides were first a thing.
Right.
How did people do this when they were having to just use the postal service?
There's like the Sears catalog, and then there's this catalog.
And this is quite the catalog.
This is a catalog that comes wrapped in a plain paper bag.
It so does.
Well, let's talk about these four guys, because we're going to be spending a lot of time with them. First up is Travis from Wisconsin. He's a farmer. He's 38 years old. He says he's only really dated one woman, and he's at this sad, empty bar, and they talk about how there aren't any women in town.
Like, you kind of hear about, like, in Alaska, the men outnumber the women, but I didn't know that about Wisconsin.
I think it's because he's in middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, not, like, Madison. Next up is Eric. He's from Texas. He's a mechanical engineer. He's wearing an NRA t-shirt and talking about his favorite guns. He's got an American flag hanging at the head of his bed. And shockingly, he says he's never had a serious relationship.
I can't figure out why.
Well, in Texas, these things are all draws, so I'm not sure. Next is Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
He's 46. He does HR for the federal government. He spends most of his day at a computer in his living room. Apparently, he works from home. And Bobby points out that he's overweight, and that's a disadvantage in the United States.
I felt like Bobby is the grown-up version of Bobby Hill.
Oh, he kind of is. Like, Bobby should be the one from Texas.
Bobby should 100% be the one from Texas.
And then finally, Ron, who's from North Carolina. He was married to his childhood sweetheart at 18. They were married for 28 years, and then they got divorced. He got frustrated with American women, and so that's when he discovered a foreign affair. And John Adams is the president.
Not the John Adams.
No, that John Adams is long dead.
Yes. I honestly thought at first that it was Elliot Gould.
I can kind of see that.
I was like, Elliot Gould? I mean, I'm watching it on an iPad, so just the Elliot Gould, like the poor man's Elliot Gould, which do we need a poor man's Elliot Gould?
He's like a cross between that and like an American John Oliver.
Kind of, yeah. That feels slightly insulting to John Oliver, but yes, yeah.
John has his own Russian bride.
He sure does.
He says with the assistance of a foreign affair, so I guess he's not just the president, he's a customer.
What is that for the Hair Club of Men?
Yeah.
I would like to add that Ron points out the averageness of John Adams' appearance. He describes him as having a pooch.
Yeah.
And he's a very average looking guy. And he thinks to himself, and Ron's not a bad looking guy. If it worked for John, maybe it could work for me. which is so much shade right there.
Well, he kind of says, like, John, if you're listening, I don't take this the wrong way.
Is there a right way to take it?
I don't think so. And now that we've met all four of them, listener, you may want to play a game, because one of these men is going to find true love. And I would not have guessed that any of them were going to.
Will it be Ron, who's a decent-looking guy, has his act together? Will it be Bobby, who is a little chubby, who works in HR for the federal government and collects laser guns?
Yes.
Or will it be Travis, who milked 176 cows this morning? Or will it be Eric, owner of an AK-47, an AR-15, and multiple 20-gauge shotguns? So place your bets now.
Yes. Well, we cut to the offices of a foreign affair where we meet John and his wife, Tanya, and they're looking at profiles.
She's kind of cute. Cute.
I am going off to somebody else's wife.
Awesome.
Sick puppy.
I rewatched this scene like 5 times. If you pay attention to the expression on Tanya's face and John's reaction to it, they don't seem super happy here.
And I think that that plays out as this documentary continues.
There's one other person.
Oh, God.
And that guy's name is Bob.
Bob is the worst.
Bob is the tour director for these trips that they go on, where they go to different cities in Ukraine to get these guys connected with women.
I mean, he's mean about the guys and like their chances of getting women. And
he's got a bit of sleaze to him, too.
Oh, totally.
So all these guys get together and they go to Ukraine. I think they say that there's about 20 guys. So there's far more guys than just the 4 that we're really kind of following. And they're going to visit 3 different cities. They're going to go to these social parties in each city. They start out in Odessa.
They say they're going to a club, but I think they actually went to a baby shower.
Jamie, if you're new in town and on the lookout for love, Odessa's hottest club is, This place has everything. Drinking, dancing, musical chairs, toilet paper mummies, baby stroller races, and a guy who tells every woman in the club that his name is Ron.
That's perfect. I'm a little disturbed by how well you can do Stefan.
I spent like 10 minutes practicing this.
That is fully accurate. This is exactly what happens. I feel like all the documentaries from now on, you should just recap with Stefan.
Oh, God.
You nailed the accuracy of this. But while I was watching it, I was thinking, are we at a baby shower or are we at a club? We have the scene where they're like wrapping the men in toilet paper, sort of like the wedding shower game. But then they also have women doing an obstacle course with baby strollers.
I did not understand this. Is this ever a thing? Right? We don't go to clubs.
No.
Don't you just go and like drink, dance, and like sometimes there's a foam party?
If this is what we've been missing, I wouldn't say we've been missing it, Bob.
Is this a Ukrainian thing?
I don't know.
They have like a closet in the back with a whole bunch of toy strollers that
right?
5-year-olds would normally play with.
What we don't realize is this is what the kids are into these days. And then Bob is like, welcome to paradise.
Bob also says,
these women believe in family first, not career first, family first. I'll tell you, it's like dating a girl from the 50s. It's like dating my mom.
And as he says this, there's footage of him on the dance floor having his clothes literally pulled off by a bunch of Ukrainian women.
Yes.
And then tickling his hairy chest.
He's like writhing around on the ground. And this is interspersed with him saying, it's like dating my mom.
Yes. I guess we know his kink.
Is his mom a woman in platform heels grinding up on random dudes?
I don't want to speak ill of Bob's mom.
Bob's mom has some responsibility for Bob being the way Bob is.
Eric says being here is like being a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, nice.
And Ron says that his plan is to shake the hand of every single person. And we see him go up to a table of women and repeatedly say,
I'm Ron. I am Ron. And I am Ron.
As he shakes all their hands.
And Ron is a Southern Baptist. So he does comment that he's never danced before.
Mm-hmm.
Then he pulls a woman up to the dance floor. He does ask. And asks her her age, which she refuses to tell him. And that is a total turnoff for him. Because, surprisingly, Ron doesn't want a young wife.
No, Ron says,
I want someone that still loves me for me, you know, when I'm not as viral, when I am starting to fall apart. You know, and I wouldn't mind falling apart with someone. If they're 25 years younger than me, then they're not going to be falling apart with me.
This is pretty awesome, Ron.
I respect Ron, but also I think that like running up to a woman, dancing with her when you're on a trip like this, and then immediately saying, how old are you? I don't think Ron has any game.
Well, this way explain why Ron is in the Ukraine instead of in America.
I guess. Travis says that he had instant sparks with the woman that he met, who looks like a model.
Travis has this like awkward conversation with this woman because he doesn't speak any Ukrainian and she doesn't speak English. And he says he plans to be engaged before he leaves.
Yeah. Plan the work, work the plan, Travis.
Right.
So that's everything that happens in Odessa. And then they move on to city number two, which is Nikolayev.
Sure.
In Nikolayev, they go to a nightclub called Illusion. And we get one of the first WTF reveals when we learn that Eric has been on 6 of these trips.
Right? Eric had earlier said that he'd never been in a relationship before. He's made 6 trips to the Ukraine to try to find a bride, and he's still looking.
Mm-hmm.
So he approaches what he describes as a very tall, beautiful blonde girl named Ina. And then says she fits all his criteria, which is apparently very tall, beautiful, and blonde, which I guess probably describes the criteria for at least 70% of men.
She says he was very serious. It's not hard to say that I liked him, but I felt he was very distressed. And my thought was, wait until she hears about the gun closet. But she was interested in the possibility of what it could turn into. We cut to Ron at a table talking to another girl. And this exchange happens.
Do you have any children? Okay, I'm looking for someone with no children.
Ron has no game.
No, like what does he think's gonna happen with this line of questioning?
And like the rudeness of like, do you have any kids? No, do you? Hold on, I'm looking for someone with no children. Well, she just told you that she doesn't have any children.
This is why Ron is in the Ukraine, Dave. American women are like, side-eyeing and walking away from Ron.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of city number two. And now we're on to Kherson, where John begins by giving them a pep talk.
Go up, talk to whoever you want to talk to. Make something happen. I mean, you know, don't sit there and be shy. Just go up and do it, because you'll probably never see her again anyway. She lives in the Ukraine.
Wasn't the point of this to find a wife?
Isn't he sort of undermining his own marketing plan?
Yes.
Like, you're going to go to the Ukraine to meet a woman that you will marry? Not going to see her again, though. What?
The big story in Kherson is about Bobby.
Hmm.
Bobby has his eye on a woman named Julia, who he's been writing with for months. He's hoping that he's going to sweep her off her feet.
This hurt my heart. He got her a gold rose because he wanted to get her a flower that would last as long as their love would. And he talks about like they made this connection and he seems like such a nice guy.
He does.
And Bobby talks about how like he didn't flirt with women at the other locations. And he specifically says that he didn't want to have to fend off women, which is a little amusing.
Julia stands him up.
And what's worse about Julia standing him up is that he has spent a considerable amount of money already on communicating with Julia.
Yeah, we learned that it costs $10 a pop to email with these women. both ways. So you send an email, that's $10. They send us a response, that's $10.
Yeah.
So he says that he's probably out 10 grand.
And they show the receipt. And he is, in fact, out nearly 10 grand.
He says that his biggest fear is that the whole thing is a scam. John tells Bobby that he's concerned about this being a scam too, and they're going to try to figure out what's going on. The next day, they get a hold of Julia, and she shows up, and my first thought is that the same girl?
Right? It was like they just went and found a black-haired, blue-eyed girl.
I wasn't convinced that it was her, and to Bobby's credit, he's not either.
And yet,
they have this exchange. Bobby is talking with the interviewer, and the interviewer says if she wasn't the one writing the letters, does it matter? And Bobby says,
it would have, and it probably should, but what I don't want to do is for me to overthink and cause the problem that isn't really there. Because honestly, I can't get this girl out of my mind.
Bobby, stop.
I think we need to call you Robert right now.
I do too. Robert, you fall in love with this someone that you've been corresponding with, and it doesn't matter to you that the woman in front of you isn't the person you've been corresponding with. You are still going to, and this happens, ask her to marry you.
And she, through a translator and some kind of broken English, says, let's move in this direction. And then she grabs her wine glass. Like, the thing that she needs most in the world right in this moment is alcohol.
And we all needed alcohol in that moment.
We cut back to the hotel room, and the interviewer says, did you get her email address? And he says, no, I was a little preoccupied. I'm engaged.
Oh, my God. This was really hard to watch, partially because he seems like such a nice guy. He's not stupid. He knows it's a scam, and he's deciding it doesn't matter.
As we leave the Ukraine, they're all packing up and loading up their tour bus to go back to the airport. And Ron is not happy.
No.
Ron says,
they're not that fucking friendly. They're not. Sorry. I'm just, now that I'm leaving, that's how I feel. No, I don't think most of the people here like Americans particularly.
I wonder why fucking not. Imagine that you live in a country where people come from across the other side of the world to try to poach your women. Imagine if a tour bus of Ukrainians showed up in your town and tried to start snatching up the eligible women. How would you feel about that tour bus of people?
And also, how do you think people feel when you say, hi, I'm Ron. How old are you, and do you have children? No, I asked you a question. Do you have children? Yeah, you're their favorite now, Ron.
So you're saying that people would be more responsive if Ron had game?
Correct. Oh, Ron.
Well, Eric still likes Ina, and she says that she has a clear understanding of what she wants in a relationship, and he has the qualities that she wants in a man, like reliability.
I mean, yeah, that's on the checklist, I guess. So
Travis says that he was only hoping the love that he found would happen to him. And then he kisses Victoria and says he never dreamed that it actually would. And then we cut to 3 months later. We do a check-in with all these guys. And Travis says that he didn't realize he was in love with her until he saw a video of him with her. She was singing to him in Russian. And so he's completely head over heels, going to go back to the Ukraine with an engagement ring, and he's going to bring back Victoria.
He specifically says he bawled his eyes out when he saw the video clip.
You just like picture Travis milking all these cows and crying.
And I hear like, all by myself.
The cows start to sing.
Moo.
We next go to Eric, and he reiterates that he has been to the Ukraine 6 times, but we learn that he has dated 35 to 50 women that he's met there.
How is that possible?
I wondered how he was defining dating. Like, is dancing with a girl in a club a date?
He didn't say he went on 35 to 50 dates. He said he dated 35 to 50 women.
Yeah.
Dated to me implies multiple dates, right? Like,
you would think so.
You've had some level of boyfriendness. I think he thinks introducing himself to a woman is dating her.
Well, then Ron has dated like 5,000 women.
Right.
Eric says that all indications are that he found someone truly serious about building a committed relationship and coming to the U.S. So he's leaving on his seventh trip for the Ukraine, and he's going to be coming back with Ina.
So we learn a little bit more about Ina. Her parents are really convinced she's going to die alone, and they talk about that at length. Like, she's not married, she has no prospects, and she is a very pretty woman. They show footage of her, like, in a bikini, swimming in a pool. She's got a fantastic body. Like, I don't know why her parents are so worried, but they're freaking out.
They're worried because they say that in the Ukraine, women are normally married when they're 18. And so Ina's like the spinstress. Like, it's like on Beverly Hillbillies when they were freaking out that Ellie Mae wasn't married at 16. That's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah. This poor girl. This is why she's basically willing to be a mail order bride, is that her parents have her convinced that, like, she will die alone and cats will eat her body.
Yes. Well, Eric is eager to reconnect with her. And then Bobby, he's corresponding with Julia, but he's getting frustrated because she won't answer any personal questions. So he basically says, like, answer my questions or I don't want to talk anymore. And she says, well, apparently you're not the man I thought you were. And they're done.
So then the interviewer asks Bobby, well, why did you propose to her if you thought that this was fishy? And he says, what was I going to lose? Your dignity?
Thousands of dollars?
Right.
How about thousands of dollars?
Oh, my Lord.
Ina comes to Texas.
Yep. And observes that everything is bigger in Texas.
The supermarkets, the trucks, the gun closets, they're all bigger in Texas.
Right.
But we cut back to Travis on his way to Odessa, and he's really excited.
He mentions that he thinks that Victoria is serious. And as he says that, they show a clip of him kissing her. And it's like his lips touch hers for about a millisecond, and then she jerks her head away and, like, looks super pained and uncomfortable. And he's convinced that that is true love.
It doesn't look like love.
No. She looks really uncomfortable in every interaction that they have, and almost like mad.
Yeah. On their third day together, Travis says that it's not quite what he expected.
I think everything's going to be all right. Like I said, for some reason, something just doesn't seem right, but I think everything's going to be all right.
And then we get the interview with Travis about what happens early the next morning.
Oh my God.
A police officer and a loan shark show up. The police officer says that this woman owes the loan shark $4,000, and if she doesn't pay right away, she has to go to jail.
And I said, well, I don't have $4,000. He said, well, what do you have? I said, well, I have a couple $100. And he said, if you give us a couple $100, we won't put her in jail. So I just kind of agreed with them to make sure that I would get to the airport on time. I was hoping to formally get engaged, but everything kind of seemed fishy, so I decided not to.
You don't say. Bobby would have been like, you know, on the off chance that she actually did owe $4,000 and was going to go to jail, I'm going to go ahead and propose and give this woman a ring. At least Travis was smart enough to be appropriately skeptical of the situation.
Apparently, there's been some history of her asking him for money.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he's to the point where he's fed up with it. But then he says, if I weren't going through the visa process, I wouldn't keep up with it.
So is he bringing her over?
I don't know. And this is all we get with him.
You have to wonder, because if he's going through the visa process with her,
he's still bringing her over.
Right.
I don't know, but if your money was on Travis, you have not won the game.
Correct.
So that's the end of Travis. Ron is back. We haven't seen Ron in a while, but he says that, much like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, he learned that if what he's looking for isn't in his own backyard, then he doesn't need it anyway. is this a lesson from The Wizard of Oz?
I guess. When he said he learned a lesson from The Wizard of Oz, that's not what I was expecting the lesson to be.
Like, there's no place like home.
Or like, don't drop houses on witches.
Watch who you throw water at.
Right.
But he's dating a woman now that he dated before he went to the Ukraine. He seems to have found love, and he has also found someone to grab ass in public at a cupcake store.
Yes.
And she gets pretty upset about it, because it's not like a little like side booty grab. It's like upper crack grab.
But she does seem age appropriate, so that's something.
Right. Thus ends Ron, and I'm going to say that this is not counting as Ron winning, because Ron has not ended up with a woman from the Ukraine. So if you picked Ron, you are also wrong.
Yep, sorry.
That brings us back to Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby.
He's going to give it one more try.
Oh.
He's got another person through this dating site, and he's getting personal responses.
He's corresponding with this hot model-looking woman named Vika. And he is saying, like, this time it's real.
It's not the same as Julia, so I'm getting personal responses and actual, you know, it looks like someone's actually putting some thought into the email.
And then they show one of the letters. And the letter says, I love romance and I am sure that we are on the right way. I believe in happiness and in our happiness. Do you agree with me? I think that you are a very serious and good. Tell me about you and your daily life. Yes, they say the truth. I really want to know what we can do step by step. Am I right? And he's like, yep, this is personalized. Someone put some thought into this message.
Who even translated this?
Right?
If part of the reason why it costs $10 per email is because you have to pay a translator, this is not $10 worth of translation.
No, this is like five sentences that are not in clear English even.
I wonder if they can still sell this as a thing in 2020 now that they have so much like online translation stuff and Google Translate and all these sorts of things.
That's a good question.
If you're paying $10 for a translation and it's that much worse than what you could get from just copy pasting into Google, I would be pissed off.
But again, we're back to Bobby deluding himself. He's insisting this is personal. And as he's saying that, his cat is like kind of behind him on the couch and it looks skeptical. Like the look on the cat's face is like, yeah, I know. Then the interviewer asks,
do you ever just feel like you're just writing a photo?
And the cat meows yes. And Bobby kind of looks at the cat and then balefully says,
yeah.
What the hell? Wherever you are, Bobby, you have a great personality. Just go on like eHarmony or something. Stop paying $10,000 to have this level of translation done.
Listen to Ron. Find love in your own backyard.
So if you had Bobby down, you have also lost, which means...
Four men enter. Eric leaves. We get to see them getting ready for their big ceremony at the Justice of the Peace.
And Ina is video chatting with her mom, and her mom wants to see her dress. And I'm thinking like, oh, she'll go put it on, because surely she's not intending to wear this skin tight, barely covers her butt mini dress and red platform stripper heels to marry her husband. But I was wrong.
This is the most Texas wedding ever.
Oh my God. They're at the Justice of the Peace. He's wearing like ill-fitting pants from Fleet Farm. And she's in this absolute hooker outfit.
The only thing that surprised me was that I didn't see guns visible on Eric's person.
Right. The Justice of the Peace is wearing jeans. He does the little vows thing. And then we are horrified.
We as a species are horrified.
Yes. Even if you haven't seen this, you are right to feel queasy now. The most absolute, hands down, disturbing kiss I have ever in my life seen.
It's like he unhinges his jaw.
Yes.
The amount of open his mouth is when he goes to kiss her.
He kisses her like a carp trying to get a piece of food off of a pond.
all of her mouth is going to fit in his mouth, and maybe all of her nose.
Her chin is in there. And his eyes are open through the whole thing.
And it lasts.
And people watching are awkwardly laughing. And then after the kiss breaks, and you've had to push pause as you vomit into your garbage can, and you've come back and you push play again, he swivels his head like an osprey. and looks at his family like, you will not touch her.
Well, the sex probably doesn't last as long as the kiss does.
He's never had sex before. Before he kisses her, he has never kissed a human woman before.
You think so?
That's not how you kiss, Dave.
You think he hasn't kissed her before this?
No.
Really?
If he kissed her before this, there's no way she would marry him. That kiss was like her face being vacuumed.
Oh, God, do you think he's, like, sucking while he's doing that?
Yes.
Because we see that he's got his tongue out.
Like, every single person that listens to this podcast is going to go watch this now.
There's, like, a lot of, like, tongue wiggling going on, but I wasn't thinking that there was actually, like, also suction happening.
Anyway, he does knock her up.
Yeah, she says she has the family she's always imagined.
And they're grocery shopping, and she's in a mini dress and platform heels. So her style has not changed.
I'm pretty sure that this is all Eric is going to be buying for her.
Yes.
So we wrap things up with Eric and cut back to John. The interviewer asks John's wife, Tanya, what is love? And she starts to cry.
Like fully, full on cry.
And what she says is,
love, it's when you can say that I will just give my life for somebody. I think that's love. You have to keep looking, and if you're lucky, you will find it. If not, some people will never find it. So you just need to keep looking.
The way that she's crying kind of makes you wonder, like, is she crying because she's found love, or is she crying because she really knows she does not have love?
To me, I read it as she's crying because she's never going to feel the thing that she thinks she should be able to feel.
You could absolutely read it that way.
She doesn't seem happy.
And then we end on this weird montage of single shots of people just standing in front of the camera. So I guess the idea is, like, here's some people you could see. If you're looking.
So this is how I read it. It's mostly women. It appears to be in the streets of the Ukraine, and none of them look like models. And so I read this as the filmmaker saying, if you look at their website and you see models on it, that is not reality. This is what people actually look like. And it's not like a bunch of hags or anything, but it's just everyday people.
Right. It's just normal people on the street.
Like a long set of clips of these things.
The final shot is one of Eric and Ina's child, who, of course, they name Eric.
Of course. And they put the full name of the baby on the slide. I think it even has his birth date. There's no effort to try to protect this child's privacy whatsoever.
No. It's like underneath that is a social security number, blood type.
Right. And then that's it.
That's it.
Thank God. So, Dave, that brings us to, what did you learn?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I learned, don't travel to a corrupt foreign country, crash in a strange person's place for 3 days, and expect it to end well.
You will have a loan shark try to shake you down.
I guess. I feel like it's maybe worth reiterating one more time. I hope all four of these guys find love, particularly Bobby, but not Bob.
No.
Not tour director Bob. Bob deserves to be in a relationship with a leisure suit. He's like that skeezy promoter guy from Sugar Sisters.
Yes. Yeah. Not good.
Not great. What did you learn?
I learned, and I must confess, it's outside of the documentary. I learned that Eric and Ina managed to stay married for 8 years.
Oh.
They only recently got divorced.
Oh. So there were no winners.
No. Ha ha. You all lose. Except that we lose even more because we watched the documentary.
Yeah, you don't have to.
No, we advise you not to.
Although if you want to skip to near the last 5 minutes or so, you can catch that kiss, I guess.
I bet if you go on YouTube and search for Love Me Awkward Kiss, you'll probably find a clip. It's that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And the other thing is, A Foreign Affair still exists.
Really?
I went to their website and browsed through many of the available women. 100% are quote-unquote models.
Did you find us a wife, Jamie?
Is that where you want to go with that joke?
I'm not sure.
I just find it a little hard to believe that that many hot ladies are looking to correspond with chubby, undateable single men from America. So I learned that A Foreign Affair is probably charging you $10 each way to correspond with a picture.
Yes, I would suggest as much.
But if you want to actually correspond with real people, you can interact with us on Facebook at Super True Stories or on Twitter at Super True Story. Thanks, Twitter character limit. And we would love to get a review from you wherever you download your podcasts.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. And we should thank Toon Dragomir for the use of our theme song. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And shout out to our podcast friends at 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. And the sound of our neighbor mowing lawns in the background means that it's time to wrap up this episode.
If there's one thing that is constant about our neighbor, it is that he mows the lawn all the time. It's like it's his hobby.
I think it legitimately is. I guess it gets you outside the house.
During a quarantine, that's important.
Indeed. We hope everyone is doing well and staying safe and healthy. And on that note, we'll be back in a couple weeks with a new episode. Until then, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Will it be Ron, who's sort of a decent looking, appears to have his S together?
His S?
Guy from... Shut up.
He has his S together.
Well,
you could say act.
Okay.
You either say act or shit.
Okay.
We're not like recording this for grandmas.
I was trying to. We have had complaints about our swears.
Not recently.
Okay.